Welcome to Fire and Security Chat, brought to you by Corson Fire and Security, where we talk about the technology and equipment used to protect and secure life and property. I'm your host, Aaron Whitaker, and on today's show, we're going to be talking with Jeff Owens, the founder of the CASEY program. This is a unique program that Corson sponsors. The two stars of the show are two black labs, but I'll let Jeff tell you more about it. What is the CASEY program?
Well, the CASEY program is a program that teaches children about fire and life safety, but we do it in kind of an innovative way in that instead of having an adult really be the educator, it's the dogs. So the dogs perform all the skills that we teach the kids, making those skills more memorable. And so it's just a unique way to teach children fire and life safety.
Okay. And when did this program start?
Program started roughly 1994, 95 as just on a whim. I, being a firefighter, I got asked to go speak to my son's kindergarten class. And that was at the time I was teaching my black Labrador retriever, CASEY, to do just basic obedience. And it dawned on me that she could sit, lay, and roll over. And I thought, well, that's stop, drop, and roll. I'm just going to take her with me. Mm-hmm. So I took her in, and she did stop, drop, and roll. It was really the only skill she could do. But the kids were so mesmerized, I thought, maybe I have something here. Because they really locked on to her far more than they ever would have for me.
Mm-hmm. So you started as a firefighter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm now retired Indianapolis firefighter. I was a firefighter paramedic for 31 years. And I would travel and do the CASEY program on my days off. That's what I would do. And the program, after I'd been doing the program about 3 years, and after that 3 years is when I got hired by Corson on my days off to teach fire extinguisher training. And I had the program, and Corson liked the idea that I had the program. And so after about 7 months of doing fire extinguisher training, all my responsibilities were taken away except just to go teach with the dogs.
Okay. And so this was like 1997, 98?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Man.
So in that time, it's 2019 now, how many schools and kids, what's the number that you've...
I couldn't tell you the number of schools. We're doing more than 400 shows in a year.
Oh, wow.
And we're teaching more than 400,000 young people every year. This is an anniversary year. This is the CASEY program's 25th year. So by the end of this school year, so in the spring, we will have taught more than 6 million children since we started in 1995. And the program has been credited with saving at least 17 lives that we know of.
Wow. Now, during the show, I've been to a couple. You kind of have a big show. And there's kind of a smaller show. Like this morning, you said you went to a preschool.
Correct.
What do you teach? What does the dogs and you teach the kids? What are the basic kind of fire safety tips that you teach them?
Well, the two programs, all of our programs are geared preschool through sixth grade.
Okay.
So the large program is main. The difference really is how many kids. Usually when we get over 200, 250 kids, we break out the bigger program. And we've had elementary schools that have 1,200 students in the elementary schools as well. And so, once we break that 200, 250 mark is usually where the big school. But an example of this morning, we were in a preschool. So it was a very small setup. And the program is reduced because the preschoolers are only going to sit for about 20 to 30 minutes and probably wouldn't sit that long if it wasn't for the dogs. But in all the programs, all the skills that we teach, the dogs perform all those skills. So the dogs actually do stop, drop, and roll, and they check a door to see if it's hot. They will put what I'm using as a door, they put their paw up on it to feel it to see if the door is hot. If I say the door is cold, then the dogs go out the door. But if I say the door is hot, then they go out the window because we also teach knowing two ways out. Mm-hmm. So that would teach that. We teach crawling under the smoke so the dogs will crawl for them. We teach telling an adult when you find matches or a lighter. We teach, I'm checking your smoke detectors once a month and changing the batteries twice a year. I already said knowing two ways out, out of every room. So all those, and then because the dogs are so calm, we also teach how do you approach a dog you don't know, because I don't want the kids to think that all dogs are going to be this calm. So we'll talk about that. How do you approach a dog? And what are some of the signs that maybe that's stay away from that dog, or maybe it's okay to pet the dog, those kind of things. So,
well, I think that could be a lesson even for adults sometimes, is what I guess I'm asking is what is the correct way to approach a dog?
Well, first of all, the first thing that is the most important is you have to ask permission. Mm-hmm. So we talk to the kids, you know, what do you do if a dog comes up to you and they're wagging their tail, you're out playing in the yard? Well, the first thing is if there's not an adult to ask, then the answer is no, leave the dog alone. And, but we also want to make sure that the kids recognize that a dog wagging their tail doesn't mean that the dog is happy. It just means they're excited. So they could be happy. They could be afraid, scared, angry. Those are all ways of being excited. Mm-hmm. And it's going to look the same to us. It's just a dog wagging their tail. And if you reach out to pet a dog that you haven't asked permission for, if the dog is afraid, scared, or angry, there's a good chance that dog's going to bite you. So we talk about what are the signs, and you know, and then letting the dog smell your hand first. And it's really not the fact that they're smelling your hand that's important. It's the fact that your eyes are on their eyes and they see you coming. You don't want to surprise them. Mm-hmm. That's really what that's more about. We tell the kids, you know, to let the dog smell your hand, but it's really about just getting the dog's attention towards you so you get a sense of, is it okay to pet that dog?
So you're not going to surprise it when you go to pet it.
Right, because, you know, even us, you know, we flail our arms and dogs snap sometimes if we startle them. That's a reflex action. It's not that the dog is violent.
Yeah. And as far as petting it, you should only pet it on its head, or is it
I'd say, you know, head, shoulders. And the dog, if you reach your hand towards something that they don't want you to touch, and all dogs can be different, they're gonna move away from you doing that. Yeah. So I don't think that's that, you know, as long as you're moving slow and give them that opportunity, I don't think it's gonna be an issue.
Okay. Of all the tricks that your dogs do, what's the most difficult trick to train them?
You know, surprisingly, of all the things they do, crawling is the most difficult thing to get the dog to do. And the reason is there's not a good reason for them to crawl. It's also an unnatural movement for the dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, dogs don't typically crawl much just on their own. There's not a reason. If there was something for them to crawl under, then it would make sense. But they're just doing it in a scenario where I'm saying that there's smoke. There's nothing there visually to get that dog to crawl. So they just have to crawl because I asked them to crawl. And that takes a while because it just doesn't make sense for them to do. So I would, without hesitation, say that is the most difficult trick to teach them.
How long does it take to teach the dogs? I know you currently have two dogs.
That's correct.
And what's their names?
We have, we have our current Casey, and there's always a Casey. Casey's okay. Always the lead dog.
Okay.
So so this is the fifth generation Casey. And then we have Callie, who is in training, and she's a 3.5-year-old. Female black lab. They're always female black labs. And so when they come home at 8 weeks, they will have training sessions the day they come home. And they're trained every single day. Now, when they're very small pups, those training sessions may only last a minute. Mm-hmm. But I might have 30 of them in a day because they have no attention span. And so I just have to give them a little bits and just be repetitive in it and then distract them, let them do other things that puppies want to do. So as their attention span increases, then we decrease the number of training sessions, but we increase the length of the training sessions. And so, you know, we start everything from housebreaking, obviously, is at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. Sit and just basic commands, sit, lay, come, those kind of things are top of the list, getting those things first. And so... So they start the day they come home when they're 8 weeks old, and they will be trained every single day for 3.5 years.
Okay. So she's currently 3, you said?
3.5, yeah. She's just coming. But, you know, they're trained their whole life. I can't say that at this point we don't miss a day here or a day there. But even those, we would never miss 2 days in the same week.
And during the shows, is Callie, does she just sit and watch
Casey,
or does she participate?
She performs the whole show. She is still learning. And what I do is she will function as if she's working the whole show. Mm-hmm. And she will have one or two training sessions at the end of the day. And what we do is we go work on things that I saw during the show that clued me that she needs to work more on this or she needs to work more on that. And so it's a polishing where we go back and go over things that she's not as good at as I want her to. Unfortunately, you know, she's a 3.5-year-old and my 7-year-old who is attention span is amazing and she's an amazing working dog. Unfortunately, the younger dog gets great on a scale of the older dog. Right. So that's not fair, but that's what I judge her by.
Okay. And have you always had two dogs during the shows, or is that kind of, or is that?
With the exception of the original Casey. I mean, at some point we finally realized when the original Casey was probably 7, mm-hmm. Between 5 and 7, that that the program was going to need to perpetuate itself. Right. So that's when we said, okay, we got to get another dog to start that training. Sometimes that's come in very handy because there have been times when the lead dog has been injured, mm-hmm. and the other dogs have had to take the place, so we didn't have to cancel shows while one dog heals and then the other ones can work. So,
okay. How many dogs have you had over? How many Casey dogs have there been?
This is the 5th and 6th generations. So okay. Callie is the 6th generation. We're about less than a year and a half away from starting our next pup.
Okay. So they retire.
Yes. Yeah. They start giving things away when they're about 10. Usually the first thing they give away is crawling because their hips are getting old.
Okay.
And that's usually an indicator to me that the dog is starting in that process of giving the program up. And so we accelerate using the younger dog more and more. Okay. Even when the older ones retire, they still travel with us because that's all they've ever known. Mm-hmm. So they'll still travel with us. If they want to still work, they can work and just do whatever skills they still want to do. Or a lot of times, before this Casey, the one before her, spent almost her last 2 years of life just traveling in the van with not working. She had a torn ACL and she was almost 14 and she couldn't work, but to leave her at home was devastating to her. So she just rode along in the van.
Okay. Did you take her to be pet? I mean, was she?
At times. Yeah. Because of the torn ACL, if we had to walk her across slick floors, so tile floors and those kind of things, she couldn't support herself on those. So if I could get her in there by walking her on carpet or something, or if we were outside on the grass, because she loved that attention. That she never quit wanting to be a part. So we would give her those opportunities whenever we could.
Do you find your dogs craving that or lacking, I guess, craving it when they're on vacation, you know, in between shows, you know, if you have a week off or whatever, do they get bored?
I absolutely. I mean, we just came out of the Christmas holidays, and that's the longest span of time that the dogs go in the entire calendar year because the school's shut down. So we will go about 2.5 weeks without any shows. And the dogs literally go from being on the road and performing almost every day to nothing for 2.5 weeks. And I just have to take them with me wherever I'm going. Just to get them out of the house. And I have to exercise them more because they just get stir crazy. They're not used to being sedentary that way. So
the other thing is I noticed the dogs have badges.
Yes.
On them. Are they trained in, or I guess certified in other rescue or anything?
They are. They wear the badges of the Wayne Township Fire Department. And Callie was the first dog that wasn't transitioned over because the Casey that we're using now became a part of Wayne Township Fire Department after she was already working. But Callie, when I think she's ready, then there's usually a ceremony that they have, just like there is with any firefighters, where they get badged. and the fire chief gives the dog their badge. They have to get to a certain part of their maturity before we're ready to do that. But the dogs are also trained in search and rescue. They're also nationally certified as therapy dogs. These are the therapy dogs that are used in Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, at burn camps to be a part of the burn camps to go in and do therapy with the kids or to just be an icon about fire safety to children everywhere. So,
okay. As far as search and rescue, they're trained like scent to...
They can do scent discrimination, so I can ask them to find a specific scent. Mm-hmm. Or I can send them in an area and just ask them to find anyone that they would find. They can do it either way. Good example is if you have, say, a tornado goes through a mobile home park, you don't know whether anybody's in there or not. You just want them to find anyone.
Yeah. Okay.
But when we go out to find an Alzheimer's patient that has been confused and wandered off, we pretty much know, and what we try to do is get a piece article of clothing, because more often than not, they will have left from their home. So, give the dogs their scent and just say, find this scent. And then the dogs will just go find that scent. That's what they're looking for specifically.
How often do they do these services?
Alzheimer's patients that wander off, I would guess, would be probably the most common search that we do. And really, it depends on our availability. Right. When I'm out on the road, that very seldom happens. But when we're home, it happens at least once a month to once every 6 weeks that we'll go out and do something like that.
And is this for the Wayne Township?
It could be for anyone. From anywhere that could call us, to come help do that.
The traveling you do, how far... Well, what states have you gone? How far have you gone?
Obviously, we've been to all the surrounding states. Plus, we've been to Tennessee, Alabama. We've been up the East Coast, as far north as Vermont. So we've done shows in Vermont and Connecticut, Pennsylvania, New York. And then, we've been, Virginia, West Virginia. So we haven't gone south into Florida or Atlanta or Georgia, but we've gone pretty much the Carolinas. We've done shows in. We've been as far west as Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Houston. Those are the cities that are as far west as we've gone.
And how do these schools hear about you? Is it word of mouth or
more often than not, someone will have seen us. They've been in Indiana for a fair festival over the summer, and they'll see the dogs and I do a program, and then they take that back, and then we get an invitation to come and do their school. So
okay, and I have to ask this: is how much does the program cost for the schools?
The programs don't cost the schools anything.
Okay,
if they want to make a donation and a lot of schools do, that's entirely up to them. But Mr. Corson and the Corson Company feel very strongly that a school's financial ability shouldn't come into play when their children are being taught fire safety. Mm-hmm. That just seems like something that we should teach them. And so that being said, the programs don't cost anyone anything.
Okay. You also sometimes... I know you have a guitar. Do you sing songs?
We do. As being a musician, in the shows at the elementary level shows, so usually kindergarten and up, we have a song called the Casey Song. So, and that song talks about all the different skills that Casey has been teaching them. So we reinforce the message of the skills that the dogs are teaching by teaching the kids a song that also talks about all the skills that Casey's teaching them. So it's just another way to reinforce. Usually in the program, the kids will see the skills like stop, drop, and roll and checking a door to see if it's hot. The children and the students will have those skills demonstrated to them a minimum of 2 times, plus have the song which talks about it. So they get multiple ways of where the skills are talked about and where they see them to help make it more memorable.
Okay. You mentioned you did, besides schools, what other places does the show go on?
Well, during the school year, obviously that's where we're at the most, are in schools. In the fall and summer, we also are at fairs, festivals, vacation Bible schools, summer camps. We're in those all over the country. Where it differs is in the summer or in the winter or in the school year, I'll go to a community and I'll be in that community a lot of times for a whole week, hitting different schools. In the summer, I'm into a town for a day or two because I'm usually doing one or two shows and then I'm on to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So our stays in places aren't, we're moving much more in the summer than we are in the school year because we're trying to get ourselves in a community and hit as many of the schools as we can in a community during the school year.
Okay. Now, doing two shows a day, do the dogs, what are their diets?
I do treat reward during the show. So I have treats for them, and I figure in their day, the food that they eat in the morning at home or at the hotel or in the evening, that food is on a sliding scale, and I take food away. If they're going to be having a lot of, if we do three shows in a day or two shows in a day, then the amount of food I give them morning and evening at home is less because they're going to get some of those calories when they're doing the show and performing and getting the treats. So it's a sliding scale. And also for Casey, she's supplemented with, instead of having as much food as a dog her size would normally have, part of that food is already taken away and replaced with green beans because they're healthy for her and they don't have the calories that the food would have.
Okay. For dog owners out there, since you're an expert at training these dogs, what advice would you give a little kid who wants their dog to learn how to jump through a hoop or do some of the tricks that KC dogs can do?
Well, I think the first thing is be patient. Mm-hmm. And all dogs are going to be different. Even all my dogs, their strengths are different. Some of my dogs really want to track and do, you know, the search and rescue things. That's just what they enjoy doing the most. Other ones want to perform and almost have a goofy side to them, where they play it up in front of the kids. So, you know your dog, be patient. I over and over again, I would say just be patient. Very seldom when I correct my dogs, other than maybe changing the tone of my voice, that's about as negative as it gets for the dogs when we're training, because you want training to be fun because I want them to want to do that.
Right.
So, if training, if you spend all your time in a harsh tone with the dog, it's not going to be very long before the dog's going, I don't want to do this, because it's just negative all the time. So I would say be as positive as you can, make it fun for them, which also makes it fun for you. So I would say again, be as encouraging as you can and be as positive as you can when you're doing that.
Okay, and this might be kind of rolling back into that question, is why did you choose black female Labrador retrievers?
Well, when I started the program, we never meant to start the program. The original Casey, even before we got the original Casey, I had grown up with dogs, but my wife didn't, and she didn't want to have a dog. And which, considering what I do now, makes that pretty funny. Yeah. But she we lost our nephew to a brain tumor when he was 6 years old, and his dog was getting ready to have a litter of pups shortly after that. And my wife decided she wanted one of those pups to remember our nephew, Zach. Mm-hmm. That was the original Casey, who just coincidentally happened to be a female black Labrador retriever. So, You know, and I was just teaching her basic obedience because I didn't want an 80-pound dog in the house I couldn't control. And so when I went, you know, to my son's kindergarten class and we did all that, it was just, you know, I was invited to go to his kindergarten class because that's what firefighters do. You get asked to go speak to your kid's kindergarten or first grade class or elementary classes as a firefighter. That's, you know, you get asked to do those things. But, you know, we had a black Labrador retriever and I had never had a lab, and it very quickly I realized that those dogs just want to make you happy. So they're very good to train because they work really hard trying to make you happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once I had some help with, you know, with the original Casey on how to train to do certain things. And once I kind of got that under my belt, then the other dogs, it became easier because a lot of what they learned from watching the older dogs.
Last question, I think, is if people are interested in having the KC program come to their schools or festivals or libraries, what they contact you, where they, can they go?
They can go to the Corsen.com, KOORSEN.com. Okay. They can go on that website and request a program straight from the website. I just got two requests off the Corsen website over the last couple of days. So, so that's the easiest way. And that would be the way I would say, because that's probably how they're, if they do a search on the web, you know, for Casey with a K, K-A-S-E-Y, Casey the dog, they're probably going to find us in several different ways, but going to the Corsen website, I think, is probably the easiest way that they could do that. I would also, the farther out they can request the program, the higher their success. Obviously, being a free program that does more than 400 programs in a year, the closer we get, the heavier we are already booked. And October, everybody wants us in October with it being fire prevention month. And you pretty much have to be a year and a half to 2 years out from that, from an October, if you want to get us in an October, because everybody already wants us then. So,
but for other months, maybe 6 months out,
you want, yeah, the far, and like I said, the, you know, if you want me next week, call, you know, send a request. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. It's probably a lot less likely that it will work for next week than it will work for next December. Mm-hmm. So that's just the way it is. You know, by the time we hit July, the schools that are coming in August have already been calling for a while. A lot of them will call before they leave for the summer. So if you can get ahead of that, you know, the preschools and the younger grades in the elementaries virtually always want us in the morning, but some want us in the afternoon. Afternoons aren't as highly requested as mornings are. And then, you know, then fairs and festivals are what we're doing on Saturdays and Sundays a lot of weeks, especially in the summer and the spring and the fall. So, yeah, don't hesitate to ask.
Do you have a lot of repeat business?
We have a lot. We have some schools that have seen, you know, we're in our 25th year and they've seen every generation of Casey since the original.
Oh, wow.
So, and the schools that have the highest success doing that, what they do is say the week that I'm going to their school, a lot of times by the time I get home, the day I've been to their school, I will already have a request for them for the next year. Yeah. So they're always scheduling a year out because they just want to make sure they're ahead of it. And then they have a lot of choice in what, you know, saying things like, I'd like it Tuesday instead of Wednesday this time or something, because they're scheduling it a year out. So,
all right. So if you're in the Midwest or, you know, like you said, you sometimes travel even further out, all the way down to, you know, Tennessee, Alabama area. Visit Corsen.com. It's KOORSEN.com. Want to thank you for joining me today and telling us about the Casey program. The one bad thing about a podcast is, you know, you can't bring the dogs in. So if you want to see the dogs, you can go on. There's a calendar See where if they're at festivals. I know you sometimes go to libraries.
We do a lot of libraries in the summer.
I guess public events that are not at school. So
right.
There's lots of opportunities to see Casey. Thanks once again. Thanks everybody.
Thank you.
If you like today's episode, we encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and rate us on iTunes. You can also find our podcast on Spotify, Pocket Cast, Google Podcast, and other popular podcast players. Search for Corson Fire and Security Chat to find it. Thanks once again for listening, and I will see you next week for our next episode of the Corson Fire and Security Chat podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Bye. The information in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is believed to be reliable, but Corson Fire and Security assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors or omissions in the content of this podcast. It does not constitute professional advice. The listener of this podcast is responsible for verifying the information's accuracy from all available sources, including the product manufacturer. The authority having jurisdiction should be contacted for code interpretations.